This morning I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse 18, where Peter's making the connection between Noah and the flood and baptism. So that's 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 18, but before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, we ask that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 18. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking to us. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. Because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, in 1523, so just a few years after the Reformation, Martin Luther wrote a baptism prayer. And the prayer that we prayed this morning, and the prayer that we pray at every baptism, is based on that baptism prayer for Martin Luther. We pray that you will never destroy us in our sin, as you once did with the flood upon the world. But save us as you saved believing Noah and his family, and spare us as you spared the Israelites who walked safely through the Red Sea. Now, why would Martin Luther include the flood and God's judgment of the world, destruction of sinners, why would he include that in a baptism prayer? What's the connection? Was Luther just thinking that kids would love animals and boats? Noah's Ark? Probably not. Most likely he was thinking of the spiritual significance of the flood and how judgment and salvation that's expressed in the flood points forward to something even greater. You might be thinking, well, how can the flood, as monumental as this flood was, the destruction of all sinners, how can something as monumental as the flood point to something even greater? The flood is a sign. And it's a sign that points to something. And here's what you and I need to remember about signs. The sign is not the thing. The sign outside of town, Sioux Center, 7 miles, that's not Sioux Center, it's pointing to Sioux Center. Well, in a similar way, the flood is pointing to something more, pointing to Christ in the salvation and deliverance that's found in him. The flood is the story of God's judgment against sin. It's the story also of God's deliverance from judgment. God was going to start over with his creation. He was angry that the world hated him, that the only thought of men was only evil all the time. The penalty of sin is death. And they died in those waters of judgment. But God, in his grace and his mercy, delivered, saved Noah and his family. He brought them safely through these waters of judgment. Noah and the flood points us to salvation. And that's what baptism is pointing us to as well. Just like God saved Noah and his family through the flood, he also saves us from our sins and from the judgment we deserve. In Christ, we are brought safely through the water. Through faith in Christ, we are delivered from judgment. And that's what the flood and baptism are pointing to, the deliverance and the salvation that are ours in Christ. This morning we'll first of all be looking at in the days of Noah. Secondly, brought safely through water. And third and finally, salvation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so first, in the days of Noah. Now how does Noah, going back to Noah and the flood and the ark, how does that connect with baptism? Well, in our passage this morning, Peter first explains how Christ died once for sins. For sins. He died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. So the righteous, Jesus, is dying for the unrighteous, us. And the reason is to bring us to God. The reason for Christ's death was salvation and deliverance from our unrighteousness, from our sin. Look at verse 18 in our passage. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous, Jesus, for the unrighteous, us, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So there you're talking about his suffering, crucifixion, resurrection, in order to bring us to God. Reminds you of 2 Corinthians 5. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. The righteous Christ for the unrighteous us, so that he can bring us to God. Christ suffered the judgment of God in our place, taking the punishment, the curse that we deserved in order to deliver us from God's judgment. And this is important to keep in mind, especially in light of Noah and the flood. We often talk about Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that's true. But what is often left out of that conversation is what Jesus is saving us from, why he is our Savior, why we need to be saved. And the reason that we need to be saved is that we face the judgment of God because of our sin. The waters of the flood clearly show what we deserve because of sin, the judgment that we deserve. And Peter is explaining here, he goes on to bring in the events of Noah and the ark and the flood to explain what's going on. And as he's explaining this salvation and deliverance in Christ, he's pulling in the flood and then he's pulling in baptism as well. So what's going on in the flood that points us forward to baptism? Well, when you think of Noah and the flood, what you have is judgment for sin. And you have God's deliverance and salvation from that judgment. Think about the flood itself. Why did the flood happen? Genesis 6 verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The flood happened because of sin. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways, Genesis 6 verse 12. And so the flood was God's judgment on earth, his punishment for the evil and the wickedness. You have waters of judgment, and everyone faced this judgment. Everyone went through the flood, but only 8 made it through. Only eight were brought through the water, as our passage says. And the question is why? Why did God save Noah and his family? Why did he bring them through the water, delivering them when everyone else drowned? At first you might think, well, Noah deserved it. He was a righteous man and he walked with the Lord. He's described as being good. But Noah was a sinner just like the rest of the people who drowned in the flood. If you think about the end of the story of Noah and the flood, the part that's left out of all the children's books, they always end with the rainbow and the promise. But then Noah planted a vineyard and he got drunk and he was laying in his tent and he cursed his sons when they woke him up. It's not Noah's righteousness that was the reason for his salvation. The reason that God brought Noah through the flood is because of God's covenant with him, God's promise with him. Genesis 6 verse 17, I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But, and this is God speaking, but I will. I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. So God makes a covenant with Noah. God promises to keep Noah and his family alive, along with the other creatures in the ark, to deliver them, to bring them through this flood, these waters of judgment. And so in spite of the evil inclinations of the human heart, God, in his grace and his mercy, affirms this relationship that he has with Noah, places the stipulations on himself. I will do this, and he promises to deliver Noah from judgment against sin, to bring him through the water. And this entire flood event points to something more, points to something even greater. It has spiritual significance. It's part of God's plan to reverse sin and its effects and to bring redemption to his people. The flood points beyond itself and it symbolizes the salvation that God is accomplishing through Jesus Christ. The way that something as monumental as a worldwide flood can point to something even greater and bigger is when it's pointing to Christ and what he has accomplished for our salvation. And that's why it is only in Christ that we are brought safely through the water. And that's our second point this morning. Brought safely through water. Now the flood waters were a serious and a deadly thing if you weren't on the ark. They were even serious if you were on the ark. But for those who were on the ark, that water was a symbol of deliverance. It was a symbol of God saving them from judgment and death. And for those who did not believe, who weren't on the ark, they experienced the judgment and death for their sins. And what I want you to see here is that the same water, depending on your faith, is either a symbol of your deliverance or a symbol of judgment and death. First Peter makes the connection between the flood water and the water of baptism. Baptism, which corresponds to this, the flood now saves you. Look at verse 21. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Recently, the pool in town opened for the summer. Or when you watch, you see people hauling their boats to the lake. Everyone's headed to the water. And if you think about the pool, well, why are there lifeguards at the pool? The water is fun, but it can also be dangerous. Why do you need life jackets when you're at the lake or on a boat at the lake? Well, water is fun, but it can also be dangerous. Now, this morning, there really wasn't much concern about Hudson drowning as he was being baptized. He didn't come up here with a life jacket or floaties just in case things got out of hand. It's what baptism is pointing to that's dangerous. And that's God's judgment against sin. One aspect of baptism that we sometimes overlook is the dangerous side of baptism. The water of baptism is actually dangerous outside of Christ. The same water that points to salvation and washing and cleansing is the water that without Christ points to judgment. Christ is the one who takes the danger and the curse away, turning dangerous waters of judgment into the life-giving waters of redemption. Think about this way. Without faith, the means of grace are means of judgment. If you think about the Lord's Supper, for example, here's a means of grace, a way that God shows us the gospel and pours his grace into our lives. But what's the warning? You need to discern the body. You need to make sure you're partaking by faith, in faith, because without faith, you're eating and drinking judgment on yourself. So something that should be beneficial by faith all of a sudden becomes judgment. And the same is true for baptism. You are marked with water, and it's water of judgment. And it's either a judgment that Christ has taken onto himself or a judgment that still lies on your shoulders apart from Christ. And that's why baptism anticipates and looks forward to faith. Holding, taking, claiming those promises of salvation in faith as your own. Because without Christ, these waters of deliverance and salvation become waters of judgment. And that's the mark that we put on our children. A sign of salvation for those who believe and a sign of judgment for those who don't. We know that there are many who were baptized who don't take hold of the promises by faith, who turn away from the Lord and his covenant promises. Just like there are many who went through the baptism of the flood and experienced the judgment rather than the deliverance. The same flood that delivered believing Noah and his family brought judgment on the unbelieving world. And ultimately, it's the presence or the absence of faith in Christ that determines what this water is, whether it's water of judgment or water of salvation. Herman Hoeksema explains it like this. Through baptism, we pass through the death of Christ. On this side of the water of baptism, there is guilt of sin and the pollution of corruption, damnation, the world, and death. But as we pass through the water of baptism, we find on the other side righteousness with God and peace and perfect freedom. Baptism is a sign of God's promises, pointing to God's promises. It's the way that God pours out his saving grace into our lives, and it's something that we are all part of. Seeing Hudson's baptism this morning is a reminder of our own baptisms and God's covenantal promises to each of us, to bring us through the water, to save us. In the form we read that we are therefore always to teach our little ones that they have been set apart by baptism as God's own children. And because of that, because they're marked as God's own children, they are to repent of their sins and embrace God's promise of forgiveness in Christ by faith. Boys and girls, when you were little, a little baby like Hudson, you were baptized. Mom and Dad carried you up front, and they and the rest of your church family promised to raise you to love and serve Jesus. And the minister put water on you, baptized you, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even if you don't remember that, God's promise is still true. God's promise never changes, even if we don't remember them. His promise that he will still wash away your sins, our sins, because of Jesus Christ. Your baptism looks forward to you believing that promise, placing your faith in Jesus Christ. You belong to God. He's marked you as his. And what that means is that you will turn away from sin and embrace God's promise of forgiveness in Christ by faith, by believing in him. Now, what do these truths mean for the rest of you who have embraced God's promises, who have put your faith in Jesus Christ? How does your baptism still impact your life? If you were baptized as an infant, what effect does knowing that you were baptized have on your Christian life? What does celebrating baptism today mean for you? Baptism reminds you and it assures you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross, Christ suffered once for sin, that this was for you. That it benefits you personally. You might be wondering, well, how? How does it do that? Just like water washes away the dirt from your hands. Hopefully you've washed your hands recently. Just like water washes away the dirt that's on your hands, in the same way, just as real, just as certain, is Christ's blood and his spirit washes away all your sin. To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven your sins. Not because of you, but because of Christ. Christ is the reason you are brought through the water. His poured out blood for you on the cross is what forgives your sins. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed and sanctified you, connecting you, uniting you with Christ. So more and more you're dying to sin and striving to live for him. That's what baptism means for us. It means that Christ, that in Christ, through faith in Christ, you are brought safely through the water. And that brings us to our third and our final point this morning. Salvation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we look at 1 Peter 3, verse 21, we read that baptism, which corresponds to this, the flood, now saves you. So baptism now saves you. Now the early church thought it was baptism that saved you. And what was going on there is they were mixing up the sign for the thing. Baptism doesn't save you, Christ saves you. Baptism, the sign, is pointing to the thing, Christ. But all of a sudden they were thinking that baptism saves you. And so we have emergency baptisms when an infant isn't doing well after he or she is born because we want them to be saved. But baptism doesn't save you. It's what baptism is pointing to, what it's a sign of. And that's Christ. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only Jesus, his blood and Holy Spirit cleanse us from sin. Did the flood save Noah? No. God saved Noah. Does the water of baptism save you? No, God does through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter is really clear here that neither the water nor baptism in and of itself can save. The act itself does not save. What saves is the appeal to God for a good conscience. What saves is the proper awareness of what God has done, which leads someone to seek and find peace with God. And that's called faith. And this doesn't happen because of our efforts. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, who has gone up into heaven, his ascension, and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. For Christ also suffered, died once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And now the risen and reigning Christ saves. And that is the basis for our turning to God in faith, claiming hold of these promises of deliverance from the water, through the water. And just like Noah went into the judgment water for sin and made it through because of God's deliverance, the water of baptism points us to the salvation that is ours because of the suffering and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only way through this water is Jesus Christ. This is the good news of the gospel. It's only in Christ that the horrible news of God's judgment against sin can become the wonderful news of salvation in Jesus Christ, the one who has took this judgment onto himself in our place, and the one who brings us safely through. Now maybe some of you are here this morning, and you're hearing about this judgment water. And you're not certain, you're not sure you would make it through. You're thinking, well, if the flood happened today, I don't know if I would be on the boat or in the water. Maybe you're thinking, if Christ came back today, judgment day against sin, I'm not sure how things would work out for me. I just don't know. If that's you in this moment, then what you need to hear is that Christ died for sin. He went through this judgment already, bearing God's wrath. And he's the only way through. And you make it through this water by holding on to Christ by faith. What you need to do is pray, Lord, I believe that you are the Savior from sin and that I am just as wicked as the people wiped out because of the flood. And that's why I need your forgiveness. That's why I need your righteousness, because I am unrighteous. Thank you for dying in my place, for rising again, and for ascending into heaven, and for ruling and reigning. I confess my sins, and I hold onto Jesus Christ for my salvation. Christ alone. As Hudson, and as the rest of our children learn and grow, this promise of salvation is the promise that is given to them and the promise that they take hold of for themselves when they profess their faith and take their place at the table. We're brought through the water. We are saved from judgment by faith alone, in Christ alone. The glory of God alone. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, thanking you and praising you that you are the Savior from sin. Lord, we confess that we are just as wicked as the people wiped out by the flood, who were destroyed because of their sin, that every inclination of their heart was only evil all the time. And Lord, that's why we need your forgiveness. We need your righteousness because in and of ourselves we are unrighteous. Lord, thank you for sending Christ to die in our place, for rising again victorious over death, for ascending into heaven, ruling and reigning for our salvation. Lord, we confess our sin and we hold on to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The one who brings us through the water and into your presence forever. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.